Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. It's always good to have you along here on Faith Radio, our focus day by day and our programming to help connect faith to life, to find ways that we can apply biblical principles to daily life situations. Our life situation today is one that is, it's like being in a club that no one wants to be in. We're going to spend some time talking about the issue of infertility, and you may have experienced that in your own life, relationship, marriage, or maybe you know someone that is going through it even now, and I'd just like to encourage you. You're welcome to call and join with us in the conversation today as we introduce our guests in a moment. Also want to mention, too, that you know we have a wonderful resource on our website at myfaithradio.com. It's called Prayer Works, and that's a place where you can post a prayer request for any situations or circumstances and know that people will be praying for you. In fact, one of the great resources in Prayer Works is that there's a little email link there, and when you see a prayer request and you pray for it, you can just click on that link, and it actually sends a little ping to the person that posted that. It's anonymous, but what a great reminder for the person to know that, hey, someone just prayed for me in my request. So I encourage you to check that out. It's a great way that we can encourage one another through the ups and downs of life. So Ted Rouse at the controls. Ted, wearing the green, looking good today.
So. Yeah, a little bit, representing.
Yeah, trying to.
I'm Norwegian and Swedish, but we're all Irish today. Right?
Apparently we are. So I've got a little bit of green on as well. So I was going to mention, too, you know, if people actually are interested in Irish history, which is pretty fascinating. Some time ago, I did an interview with Thomas Cahill, who wrote that best-selling book out, it's probably, 5-10 years ago now, How the Irish Saved Civilization. Mm. It's a pretty fascinating book, and it has a lot to do with this advance of the gospel, how, you know, the Irish were going to persevere and keep Christianity going strong. So it's a pretty interesting reading, interesting conversation, too. You could go online and just Google Cahill, right?
I should do that. My daughter asked me today, who is St. Patrick? And I'm like, well, there's a legend of the snakes.
Sure.
You know? There's more to it than that.
Actually, yes. If you go to My Faith Radio and then put Cahill in the search bar, Thomas Cahill, C-A-H-I-L-L, you'll find the interview posted up there. We post audio from all our shows, and I always appreciate the opportunity of you pass it around. And if you missed part of it, or missed part of today's show, or maybe want to pass this on to a friend too, just know that you can catch it after the show. So let's introduce my guest. Matt Appling teaches pre-kindergarten through sixth grade art, as well as high school art history. He's taught and ministered in a variety of church and school settings. He's been a popular blogger for years, and is the author of the Church of NoPeople.com, as a syndicated columnist for ProdigalMagazine.com, and as a featured contributor to many other online publications. He and his wife, Sherry, live in Kansas City, and he has written his first book was called Life After Art. The one that we're talking about today, he and his wife, Sherry, put together and told their story and several other couples' stories. It's called Plus or Minus, Keeping Your Life, Faith, and Love Together Through Infertility. And Matt, we want to just welcome you to Connecting Faith. Thanks for making some time today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I don't know, are you, I guess we should establish, are you Irish? Will that make a difference in today's conversation? So.
I probably have a little bit of Irish in my history, but probably not enough to make a difference.
Okay, all right. Well, we're gonna count you in anyway, so we're glad to have you. This, maybe just to set up this book, you have this as an e-book, and by the way, we do have some copies that we can give away, so if you're one that you would like to download this to your reader, this would be a great resource. And if you just give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, Carissa will get your contact information down, and we'll make sure that you can get a link to that and go from there. So thanks. So Matt, maybe just by way of introduction, tell us a little bit about your story and why you decided to put this down in a book.
Yeah, well, my wife Sherry and I, a few years ago, we had been married for a few years, happily childless, just enjoying married life, And we decided to upend all of that and try to start a family, have a child. And we found that things didn't go the way that we had always been taught that they would go from sex ed class. So after a few years of progressively trying to intervene and trying to have a child, we had found ourselves just in a very different place in life, in our marriage, in our faith, in our relationships. And we also found that we weren't alone. We started out feeling like we were all alone in the struggle, and we had just found that other people in our community, we didn't even have to go looking, were also going through this. So after a lot of prayer and consideration, and we were still going through our journey, we felt like we had an opportunity to just encourage other people who might be going through something, whether it's infertility or a season of miscarriage and loss. And so that's what the book is. It's not just our story, but it's some other couples with different situations and just kind of the shared experience and wisdom and hope that we all have in common that we hope encourages other couples who are struggling.
As you said, you didn't have to go very far because this does affect a number of couples, doesn't it? Maybe just give us some sense of how significant in the issue of infertility really is.
Yeah, today, statistically, one in eight couples is going to struggle to conceive, and that's both their first child as well as subsequent children. And we don't usually think of that, but most infertility actually happens after one child has been born. So that means that you've been trying for a year to conceive. If you're over 35, it's just 6 months. You're officially considered infertile. And then on top of that, up to 25% of known pregnancies, the ones that actually are discovered, end in miscarriage. Now, there are far more pregnancies that end early enough that they're never known, but the ones that are actually confirmed, 25%, end in miscarriage. So it is a big issue, and it's one of those things that we don't think about because it's often dealt with in secret, and we don't think it's that big of a problem, but it affects the couple and in lots of different aspects of their life as well as their families.
One of the phrases used in just kind of the promotion for the book, plus or minus, keeping your life, faith, and love together through infertility, is talk about the collateral damage that infertility brings with it. I mean, there's you know, medical costs and procedures. If you and I'm sure most people kind of end up going down that road just to try and, you know, use all options, I guess. But there's a lot of sort of emotional and social and maybe spiritual issues. Maybe talk a little bit about that, the kind of impact that it has on a couple, whether it's, you know, socially or spiritually, you know, sexually in any other way.
Yeah, well, that's a huge question. You know, most of us aren't really prepared to deal with a long, drawn-out trial when we dream of the pitter-patter of little feet running around the house. We certainly weren't. We had never discussed infertility. We thought that it would happen pretty quickly and according to our plan because we felt prepared and we felt ready. But the thing about infertility is that there really are no guarantees. You can go to any doctor. You can receive any treatment. You can spend any amount of money, and there's no guarantee that it's going to be successful in the end. So you're playing this game trying to eliminate variables, and there's no promise. You might drain your bank accounts and spend years working at this and still not have anything to show for it. So it's not just a medical issue. It does pull in many different aspects of your relationship, your spiritual life, relationships with your family. Suddenly you're having to deal with this kind of unwanted intruder in your relationship. we're supposed to think of having children as this passionate expression of ourselves as a married couple, and then suddenly conception is a medical procedure. And physical intimacy is is on a schedule and it's under doctor's orders, suddenly you've got a lot of issues to talk about with your spouse about, well, what kinds of options are on the table? How long are we going to try this? How much money are we going to try to spend on this? Not to mention that the more invasive the treatment is, the more ethically fraught it can be. And so it's easy for couples to go month after month and year after year and just get more and more desperate. And you feel the clock is ticking, it's running out of time, and we have to get more and more aggressive. And all the while, your relationship might be kind of fraying at the edges. The problem is that infertility is often framed as a process of acquisition. You're trying to solve your problem as quickly as possible. You're trying to acquire a child. And that can be a really unhealthy thing to do because it's not a process of grief where we're grieving time lost or children lost or we're grieving the fact that this might never happen. We're just trying to grind away, trying to grit our teeth, trying to get through this as quickly as possible and be successful no matter what. And that can take a real toll when we're just pushing, trying to get this solved. So it can leave couples in a very broken place. In their marriage, in their relationships, in their spiritual life. Hopefully, if we can go through this season with wisdom and grace, then we can actually be built up in our relationship, even through this challenging season.
I want to talk more about that. How do we go through times of maybe breaking down, but to be built up on the other side, and maybe you're not at that other side yet, or you would like to join the conversation, we'd welcome you to come on board with a question. And if you'd like to remain anonymous, you're welcome to do that as well. If it's more convenient to drop us a note, you're always welcome to go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. And there's an email link there where you can send us a note, or you can give us a call. Phone lines are open for your joining in today. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, talking today about keeping your life, faith, and love together through infertility, reflecting on a new book from Matt Appling called Plus or Minus. Matt is a teacher and also been a pastor ministry leader. He and his wife, Sherry, live in the Kansas City area and are sharing their story today. We'd love to have you join in the conversation. Share your story. Maybe you have a question specifically how you can encourage others. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. And we do have some ebook copies, the book to make available to you. So ask for that when you call, too. We'll do a drawing for that. 877-93-FAITH. More with Matt Appling in just a moment. Past the hour, talking today with Matt Appling. Matt's a pastor, a teacher, and a writer. He has a bachelor's degree in graphic design, a master's of divinity, and he is teaching, has taught in a variety of settings, from serving as a youth pastor to teaching elementary art, which inspired his first book, Life After Art. And he and his wife, Sherry, have just recently released a new book, an e-book called Plus or Minus, Keeping Your Life, Faith, and Love Together Through Infertility. And we've got some copies available for the download. We'll give you a link if you let us know you'd like to be in on that. And if you have a question or comment today about the subject of infertility, you're welcome to call us at 877-933-2484. 1 in 8 American couples will experience difficulty conceiving children. And we're talking about maybe some of the surprises that not only is there, you know, the bank account takes a hit as you sort of continue on, but other ways in which you find strains developing, emotional and spiritual. And, Matt, I'm interested in just maybe as you, you've been a pastor, you and your wife are believers, so talk a little bit about maybe some of the spiritual questions that, you know, this conversation started to bring up, and when you're going through the season, I mean, how did your outlook about God and faith change?
Sure. In the early days, I think the easy question is why us? Why is God doing this to us? What have we done wrong? What have we done to deserve this? And for a long time, our prayers were very centered on God, give us what we want, and God, why aren't you doing this? And how long are you going to make us wait? And these kinds of things. And we started to talk with friends, and we started to look at the scriptures more closely. And this is the thing that we don't usually get, I think, in a lot of our Christian communities, is that infertility, even though it's we don't talk about it, it's very intimately connected to the story of God's people. The story of Israel starts with Abraham and Sarah, who experienced decades of childlessness, and it's a great little picture of a couple who is so desperate for this that they go to extreme lengths to have a child, where Sarah brings in the maidservant Hagar, and of course it creates a lot of other difficulties, but it just goes to show that infertility has always been with humanity, and it's always been an unpleasant reality where people have sometimes done desperate things to try to solve that problem. But as our season went on and we start looking at the scriptures, we realize that God doesn't he doesn't punish people. He doesn't punish his people with infertility. It's not a sign of a curse. It's not a sign that we've done something wrong or that our faith is weak. The people who have children and it came easily, it's not because their faith was somehow stronger or they were more righteous. But we did come to a place where we felt like God has chosen us for some reason for this season, and it might be a permanent season of life for some of us. It will be, and for some of us it is just a few years, and for some people maybe it's a very short season of waiting. But in the last year or two, we really came to a place where I feel like our faith matured, where we weren't blaming God, but we did give him his responsibilities. we made him responsible over our infertility. We knew that there was only so much that we could do. We could go in for treatment. We could spend X number of dollars, but it was still up to God whether we were going to have a child. There was no point at which we could usurp God's authority over life, and that might be kind of a misnomer if you haven't looked deeply into infertility treatments, and you might have an idea of what in vitro fertilization entails, and we certainly did. But there was no point at which we were kind of thumbing our noses at God and saying, "Well, we're doing this with or without you." We came to a place where we were able to accept God is either going to give us a baby or He's not. And we've done everything we can do, and we're okay with that. But God doesn't owe us a baby, even you know, no matter how we pray or no matter how good we are. He wasn't beholden to give us what we wanted. So we stopped trying to manipulate him, and we just said, God, we're going to do this, and we'll trust you whatever the outcome is. So in all, we came to a much greater contentment with God, even if he didn't give us what we wanted, because he didn't make us any promises. but he promises that we can be fulfilled, that we can have satisfied lives through him, no matter what our individual trials in life bring to us.
And I guess, you know, people probably want to know, where do you have children at this point?
Yes, we had our first son, Miles Calder. He was born just after Christmas. So, yeah, he's the result of almost 5 years of treatment. Our journey still isn't over. We hope to have at least one more child, but you know we're still walking through this, and we don't know what God is going to give us.
And as you said, you know, the prayers at the beginning were kind of why us. So mm-hmm. what were the prayers like at the end? Was it just, you know, God, we're trusting you, whatever? I mean, it wasn't necessarily resignation, right? But just what, confidence? Your faith,
yeah,
your faith took on a different perspective.
It wasn't resignation, and it wasn't necessarily confidence because we didn't know what the result would be. The thing about infertility treatment is that it's kind of like an exercise program where you start out with very low intensity, and you see if you're successful, and if you're not, then you kind of ramp it up and you do something a little bit more intensive. So in the beginning, it was just, you know, some simple hormone treatments, and Sherry had some tests to make sure everything was working properly and fallopian tubes are open and her body is receptive. But then as it goes along, you try to eliminate more and more variables. But even if you're doing the most invasive thing, there are still those variables where God is in control, and it doesn't matter what you do. You can't force that little sperm to fertilize that little egg, and you can't force the little embryo that it creates to implant in the uterus, and you can't force that little embryo to grow for 9 months and be born. So it really, we came out with just so much more reverence over what it takes to create life. You know, we say that babies are miracles, and we got a firsthand look at just how miraculous it is, because we started to feel bad for couples who it came easy to, who didn't get to see what we saw. We got to walk through just how unlikely it is that any of us exist. So it was just a humbling gift. We didn't see it in the beginning, but that's what we got in the end.
Talking today with Matt Appling. Matt and his wife Sherry have chronicled their journey, as well as a couple other couples going through the experience of infertility. And they've written about it in a book called Plus or Minus, Keeping Your Life, Faith, and Love Together Through Infertility. Matt is a pastor, teacher, and a writer, and has been teaching art and art history, and has written a great book called Life After Art. And this new one has a very full of great insights as well. We'd like to invite you to sign up for an ebook download of it, and you can do that with a phone call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And Matt mentioning some of just the treatment plans, and I do have a question about that. We'll get to that after the break. And your questions or comments are welcome. You can drop us a note, email myfaithradio.com, go to Connecting Faith, and then click on the email tab there and send us your question that way, or give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. More our conversation on infertility coming up with Matt Appling just ahead here on Connecting Faith. Appreciate it, Wes King, the singer and songwriter. That's a nice tune. And appropriate for our conversation today as we talk Plus or Minus, Keeping Your Life, Faith, and Love Together Through Infertility. Matt Appling has written this new book. He and his wife, Sherry, experienced a season of infertility, and they've chronicled not only their story, but several other couples going through this journey, which is full of maybe collateral damage, we'd call it that way, I guess. Lots of challenges, and certainly a lot of emotions, and maybe a lot of spiritual questions. And talking about it today, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 877-93-FAITH. Matt does seem like, Matt, by the way, is an art teacher, a pastor, and a writer. And it does seem that maybe women get the focus of this much more often. And I'm thinking that it's got to affect their maybe self-esteem, self-image, and all those things, too. Talk about maybe how you reacted in a different way than your wife.
Yeah, we definitely do, I think, kind of put infertility in kind of the category of a woman's issue. And I think that's unfortunate because it is a couple's issue. It doesn't matter if the medical issue is with the man or the woman. Two-thirds of infertility does lie with the woman, but it's something that you walk through together, hopefully. But that does make it challenging. I think we tie a lot of a woman's value or worth to her ability to have and raise children, and that's another one of those things that hasn't changed much over the last 6,000 years or so. But I think with myself, I'll just confess that I wasn't always great at supporting my wife. I saw this area of my life that had spun out of my control. There was nothing that I could do to regain control or to fix the problem. And there were times when I retreated into other parts of my life, my work life or some other area where I felt I had more control. And so there were times where I really had to be called back and kind of shown my error and just become the husband that my wife needed me to be. And sometimes that's that's taking off of work to go to doctor's appointments, and sometimes it's just helping your wives communicate what they're feeling and what they're going through. It is a different kind of pain between the person who has to go through the medical stuff and the person who has to watch the person they love go through their medical stuff. And I don't want to say that I don't want to take away from the spouse's pain who has to go through the physical thing. But if you're the other spouse, whether you're a man or a woman, just talk to your spouse. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you are happy that you married them, that you don't have any regrets, because they're probably going through some of those questions in their heads. What if he or she had married someone else? He'd be a mom or a dad by now. Just let them know that you are with them, and however this turns out, you love them, and you're with them, and they are still valuable to you.
I'm thinking there's probably they get some added pressure probably from mom and mother-in-law too, right? Well, when are the grandkids coming? So.
Yeah, absolutely. Family can definitely complicate things, and every family is going to be different. The way families communicate for us, we kind of got that steady drip, drip, drip of hints. Whenever you and Sherry are going to have kids and, whatever they wanted to say. And it got to the point where we just needed to, we were kind of guarded about how much information we wanted to give out, but we had to say, you're going to have to be patient. Things aren't working out the way that we would have hoped. So the hints are unnecessary. And that really helped to relieve that. I can't imagine going through 5 years without telling them anything. We didn't let them into all of our personal details and decision making, but then again, other couples, they want their family to be a part of their prayers and just seeking wisdom. So you really, spouses need to get on the same page about how much information they want to share with family. Otherwise, you kind of risk being at a family dinner and someone kind of opens a can of worms that the other the other person didn't really plan on, and then you look next to you and your spouse is staring daggers at you. So it can be touchy, especially when you have siblings who are having kids and maybe a little bit of sibling rivalry comes into play. But it can be navigated in helpful, fruitful ways, just like anything else. But it is another challenge.
We do, we do kind of idolize children, don't we, in many ways. I mean, that probably doesn't help in the sense that society is, even though, we probably have way too many that, aren't necessarily parented well, but we do. Children are sort of the prize, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do spend a chapter just talking about our culture of parenting. You would be surprised at how much the way we think about parenting and children has changed in modern history. It's the way we do things and the way we think about our kids it's not an old way of thinking. It's very new, and in a lot of ways, it makes infertility harder. But children are the prize. There are lots of different family structures that are now acceptable in our society. Having kids is still very much in vogue. Being childless by choice is acceptable. But no one has infertility in their vocabulary. No one looks at a childless couple and assumes that they're having problems. They assume that, hey, this is America. Anyone can have anything they want, so they must have made a choice not to have kids because everyone can have whatever they want. So, whether you're just in your ordinary life or even in your church community, yeah, it can be tough. There's no doubt that our churches pour a lot of resources into ministering to families and children, and that is kind of the cornerstone in a lot of ways of good Christian living, having and raising a family. And we certainly dedicate a lot of ministry resources to people with kids. And we don't necessarily notice that on Mother's Day and Father's Day, we might be missing some people who are ordinarily with us because they just they can't be there on those days.
Well, you were, I mean, you've been a pastor, been in ministry staff, so did you look at this maybe from a different lens as you talk about, you know, where did churches maybe falter a little bit, or what do we typically do, and what could we do better as a church?
Yeah, I have to admit that I didn't think about infertility until it was a part of our lives, and I mean, isn't that the case with so many things? It's unfortunate, but yeah, we spend so much time trying to help parents raise their children well, and we don't make infertility a part of our faith community's vocabulary. We don't talk about how infertility is with the story of God's people throughout the scriptures. It's not just Sarah and Abraham, but it goes on throughout the scriptures, and it is a piece of this narrative with the covenant. If we do reference it, I think it's often a problem that you can pray through, and God will solve your problem and answer your prayers, and children are always that answer. And if God hasn't answered those prayers, then you must not have prayed the right way. I've come into more than one bit of teaching or resource or book that had that message, and it's not congruent with the way scriptures are. So I would say if you're leading, or if you're in a church community, if you're on pastoral staff, just look at your communities. Know who your people are. There are a lot of families who are probably taking a lot of ministry resources, but there is probably statistically a small minority of people who are struggling, and they're struggling silently. They don't know, they don't think that anyone is paying attention to them. But I would say even the people who have kids, they probably, at least 25% of them have lost a child before birth, and every now and then they probably still think about that child, and they wonder why did that child not make it? Why did God take that child away? So I think that pastors are missing a very rich opportunity for ministry when they ignore topics of infertility and miscarriage, and they can really serve their communities well by looking at those topics.
We're talking today with Matt Appling. Matt teaches a pre-kindergarten through sixth grade art, as well as high school art history. He's a pastor, teacher, and a writer, and has written a book called Life After Art. The one we're referencing today is called Plus or Minus, Keeping Your Life, Faith, and Love Together Through Infertility. And we're going to take a break here and then get back to have a question from a listener email question wondering about treatment plans, and those are big questions, and as we've talked about earlier, there's some ethical issues and reservations, all those things, and risks. We'll get to that and more. If you have some questions as we deal with this topic of infertility, you're welcome to join us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if you'd rather just drop us a note, you can do that, myfaithradio.com. Click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. We'll continue the conversation with Matt Appling in just a moment.
When my world is shaking, heaven
Well, we have about 15 minutes left in today's program and want to continue our conversation with Matt Appling. We're glad to have connected with him today. He's a pastor, teacher, writer, authored on, well, you've been blogging at, is it the churchofnopeople.com? Is that where you do
your... Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And his first book's called Life After Art. He teaches art, pre-kindergarten through sixth grade art, as well as art history in high school. So you're helping to create a generation of people with degrees that will get them. I'm just kidding. We're not going to talk about art history degrees. That's not very fun for anyway. This new book, though, is timely and helpful resource. It's called Plus or Minus: Keeping Your Life, Faith, and Love Together Through Infertility. Matt and his wife Sherry have chronicled their journey, and well as several other couples in this book, Invited people to send in their questions or call in with their questions or comments. Joshua sends us a note on email at myfaithradio.com. He says, my wife and I have not been able to conceive and have had a miscarriage, not knowing my wife was pregnant. She's been told of trying hormone treatments that sound pretty risky and could have potential to terminate a pregnancy and give very bad side effects. We want to have a baby, but don't want to make this too invasive and do not have much money to work with. Are there suggestions?
Well, Joshua, thank you for writing in, and my heart goes out to you and your wife. You've kind of got a multifaceted question there about the side effects. You know, hormone treatments are kind of the first step for a lot of us, and, of course, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know your exact situation. But I think for many of us, that's kind of step one. No matter what treatment you're going to go through, yeah, there's that list of side effects, and it does sound frightening. I'll admit, and that makes the decision making process very challenging, because you don't want to see your wife go through something that's not necessary. If you don't feel good about that, I would start by getting a second opinion. There's nothing wrong with going to see a different doctor and saying, hey, wait, what do you think? And if the two doctors are radically different in their opinion, maybe you go get a third opinion to see if you can get two doctors that agree on what you ought to be doing. Your other piece of the question about hormone treatments having the possibility of terminating a pregnancy, that is a serious consideration. I would talk to your doctor more about exactly what that risk is. We were very sensitive to that kind of issue, as that's why in the beginning we took in vitro fertilization off the table, and it wasn't until we looked a lot closer at it that we decided that we could go for that. But certainly the issue of life and are we inadvertently terminating life, that's certainly a concern. The way I would encourage you is that I think we often think of we lump in vitro together with intentional termination, i.e. abortion, and the two aren't the same, because when you are undergoing treatment for infertility, whether it's hormone treatment or whether it's something much more invasive, you are trying to create life with the intention that it live. Whereas something like stem cell research, you are intentionally creating life with the intention that it not live. So I would just encourage you to think about that. You might be burdening yourselves ethically more than you need to. I certainly walk through that with prayer and discernment. It might be the right thing for you. It might not. But I applaud you for being sensitive to those issues. That's great.
Because the as you mentioned, the sort of ethical and moral reservations grow as you continue to go further down the road of treatment, right? The treatments become more invasive.
Oh, absolutely. There was never a point in our treatment where the decision making got easier. Mm-hmm. It only gets more challenging. So it feels challenging in the beginning, where you're just talking about hormone treatments and the risks involved, and it only the stakes only get raised. And as for side effects, Sherry had the most severe side effect when we finally went in for in vitro. She we went in to extract the eggs from her ovaries, and it landed her in the hospital for a week. She had ovarian hyperstimulation, which meant that her body was very dehydrated, but there was a buildup of fluid around her internal organs. And so over the course of a week, she was just in extraordinary pain, and the doctors were they were siphoning fluid off of her abdomen. I think in all, over the course of a week, they took about 12 liters of fluid off of her, and it was just it was terrible to watch her go through, and it was certainly terrible for her to go through. So, there are always risks, and hers was certainly extraordinary. That's not typical. Our doctor had been doing this for 8 years, and Sherry was only her second patient to react that way. But they do have to tell you all the risks that were involved, and we signed up for that. We knew that there was that risk. We certainly didn't think it was likely. We didn't think it would happen to us. But you know, when it comes to infertility treatment, it's a lot like home improvement. When you get an estimate for a home improvement project, it's always going to cost more money and probably take more time and have more complications than you anticipate in the beginning. And that's not to make light of it, but it certainly we got more than we bargained for, and we don't regret it. But there are always going to be surprises. So certainly pray through that and pray for the unexpected things that are going to come along the way.
Did adoption come up in the conversation?
Certainly. And that's a great question. You know, a lot of us might be considering adoption, and that's a wonderful choice. And we still are considering whether adoption is a part of our plan. What I would encourage people to do is almost to separate adoption from infertility. The two should be separate conversations, because a lot of times it's easy for us to get into this mindset of adoption is a plan B. It's a consolation prize. We didn't get what we really wanted, so maybe we're going to go this other way. If you're considering adoption, that's great. Do it because you are called as a couple to adopt a little child. Not make it this plan B. You know, if you get pregnant, then you're going to pull out of the adoption process. Do it, pursue it, because that's what God wants you to do. And I admit it's easy to fall into that trap. We kind of did the same thing. I hope that we can find discernment in that process for us too. But it's really easy to say, well, we're pursuing adoption, but then maybe you get pregnant and you say, well, I guess we're not going to do that anymore. There are lots of little children who need homes, and they're precious, and they're there, and you're still going to wait for them, and you're still going to go through some heartache on that adoption journey. It's certainly not easy either, but do it because God is leading you that way.
You know, I'm sure many of us, and those listening today here have maybe struggle with infertility or know somebody who's lost a child, and we want to be supportive. So what could or shouldn't we say maybe to support friends or family members going through this?
That could be a very long list. It's easy for people to try to fill an awkward silence, because we just don't like awkward silences. And because it's not in our vocabulary, it's really easy to put our foot in our mouths. A couple of months ago, I was at an author's event, and I was telling people about the book. And the very first woman who approached my table, she had a little child hanging on her leg. And I told her about the book, and she kind of scoffed and literally said, "I wish I was infertile." And I waited. I was just kind of stunned, and I waited for her to catch herself, or to, I don't know, say something. And she never did. I mean, it was as if she really, really meant that. And I didn't know what to say. I probably could have told her that there are doctors who can help her with that. But, you know, even in our best intentions, we want to help people, or we want to give people advice. We want to kind of play that armchair fertility expert. Just because we've had children doesn't make us experts on having children, just like You know, just because you're a parent doesn't make you a parenting expert. So I think it's important that we restrain ourselves. We don't assume to know what people are going through or what they need to hear. I would say there's a delicate balance between having intimacy with your friends and giving them the space that they need. So definitely pray for your friends, pray for your family members. Let them know that you're praying for them without needing information on what their current situation is. Keep in conversation with them. Talk about things that you still have in common. If you have kids and your friends don't have kids, you know, that can be a little bit of a wedge. It's something that you don't have in common anymore. So have conversation about things that are of mutual interest that you can both talk about. And then just watch what you say. It's easy to make little quips that might seem harmless. I can't tell you how many times we had a kind of a joking offer. Oh, you can borrow our kids anytime, like they want to get rid of their kids. And it's meant in jest, but it also stings a little bit. So don't say words that aren't necessary, and make time for words that are purposeful and meaningful.
Good word from Matt Appling. Matt, was there maybe a verse or a passage in the scriptures that you maybe kind of kept coming back to, or that really encouraged you or the other couples you talk about in the book through these times, the season?
Mm-hmm. In Psalm 139, the author talks about how God saw him when he was unborn, saw him unformed, and we kept coming back to that as the children that we have or we don't have, there is very little that we have to do with their birth and their life. God is their primary parent. God sees them before we ever know they exist. He will see them long after we are gone. The things that we give our children are very temporary. Maybe our child has our nose or our eyes, but those things pass away. But it's God who gives them a permanent, eternal soul. And God has so much more capacity to love our children than even we do. So the children that we have or we don't have or we've lost, I just encourage everyone to truly turn those children over to the Lord's care. He loves them. He knows their days, whether they get to be born or whether they don't. And when you do that, you find yourself yourself relaxing in God's care. God loves you, and he finds worth in you whether we get to be parents or not. We are valuable in his sight. So I just invite and encourage everyone to rest in that reality.
Good place to wrap up our program today. Some good words from Matt Appling. Encouragement. He and his wife, Sherry, have told their journey through infertility and several other couples' stories as well. It's an e-book called Plus or Minus, Keeping Your Life, Faith, and Love Together Through Infertility. Matt is a pastor, a teacher, a writer. He's written a great book called Life After Art. He teaches art. He and his wife, Sherry, live in Kansas City area. Joining us today, Matt, thank you for sharing so encouragingly today for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you missed part of today's program or like to pass it on to a friend, go to our website, myfaithradio.com. You can hear the audio there on the Connecting Faith show page.